Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 12th chapter, the first 8 verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you. For we have many members in one body, and not all members have the same function. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts, according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. This is God's Word. Dear friend in Christ, why are we here? What is our purpose as we live in a sinful world? What is to be our driving purpose in our lives? That is what Paul is talking about in our text before us this evening. He tells us, in view of God's mercy, we live. First of all, in a sinful world, and secondly, in our church. We live our lives as sacrifices. He says, do not conform or continue to conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, don't follow the rules of sin. Sinful temptations, they're before us every single day. And so often, many of these sinful temptations are glorified by the world. We're told, if you don't do it, you're behind the times. You're not really having the fun that you should have. And that, of course, is the devil speaking. Because most of these things that the sinful world espouses is contrary to God's word. And he says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. He says, test your actions. And that's what I tell young people who leave home for the first time. I tell them, you're going to be tempted to do a lot of things that you never even considered before. Some things will be good. Some things will be not so good. I just tell them, ask a simple question. Is this what Jesus wants me to do? Would Jesus okay this? By doing that, they're testing the possibility. They're testing their actions like they could do. Is it right or is it wrong? Too many times, even we as adults make the wrong choice because we're sinners. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. Sometimes we follow the ways of the world. Rather, we should see to it that our actions agree with God's word. What is good, pleasing, and perfect, approve what is the will of God. When you do that, you are honoring God. And we should be honoring God every single day of our lives because of all that he has done for us. It will mean sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. When I think of sacrifices, of course, it goes back to Old Testament times when they killed an animal, placed it on an altar, and burned it. It was part of the worship of the Jews at the time of Moses. Right up to the time almost of Christ, sacrifices were offered. But the Lord tells us, you also will be sacrifices because you don't go along with what the world has to offer. And because you don't go along with it, you are going to be ridiculed. And that's a sacrifice. And that's what he's talking about. And Paul understood that perfectly. Often he was ridiculed by the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the leaders of his church. He was told, you're wrong. Why do you believe in that fake Jesus Christ? Why don't you follow us and believe that you can gain your way to heaven through your works? Eventually, because Paul said no to them, he was beheaded in Rome. A real sacrifice for the Lord. Now, we're not probably going to have that happen to us, but we're not always going to be popular. We're not always going to be one with the world. In fact, we're not. There are things in the world that are good. The opportunity to make money, the opportunity to have friends, to have a nice house, to appreciate what God does for us physically, preserving us every single day. But then comes the devil, and he tries to put a little wedge into our lives by saying, but you can do this too. Even though God in his word says no. When we say no, sometimes we're laughed at. Yes, I've been laughed at. Usually on a campus. When I was the campus pastor at Southwest State in Marshall, Minnesota, one time I came upon a couple students who said they were coming to our meeting, but they didn't. And they said, we're not coming because you're no fun. You don't do the things we like to do. You're stupid. That's what they called me. Because you don't follow our fun times. That becomes a sacrifice. But we do it willingly because that's what God expects of us. To follow his word. To be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That you test and approve what is the will of God. What is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's what we do. We honor God. And why do we do it? Because of the mercy that he has shown us. Even though we daily sin and really deserve nothing but punishment, God says, I don't want that to happen to you. And so he said to his son, because mankind, my prized creation, can't do it, can't live that perfect life which I demand, you do it. And he did. Perfectly. For us. He said, you have to sacrifice yourself because I demand a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people. So Christ came down, allowed himself to be arrested. In fact, I have an image. Maybe it's not quite true. But it shows his willingness that he actually had the cross laid down on the ground. And he himself put himself on the cross with his hands out and said, do it. That's why I've come, to die for the people. And he did. Now our chance to go to heaven is there. Then on Easter Sunday, he overcame death and the devil for us with his resurrection. And he said, because I have risen, you too will one day rise. And all of this he did because God is merciful to us who are sinners, but who are also children of God because of what Jesus has done for us. We live our lives as sacrifices because we don't go along with the sinful things of this world. Secondly, we live in our church as one. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We belong to God's church. When we think of that, first of all, we think of Trinity here in Saline. It's our church, right? But really, when he's speaking of the church, he's speaking of the Holy Christian Church. And where is that? Throughout the world. Wherever believers are, the church of God is present. And we, by the grace of God, belong to that church. But the last part of our text looks at us individually. He's given us different abilities. The ones he mentions are a little different than we expect, but we have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. Prophecy means speaking God's word. If you have that ability, he says, use it in a complete agreement with the faith, with agreement to God's word. If it is serving, then serve. I had a good example of that here when I had my 55th anniversary. And the serving that you did for me was awesome. And it wasn't just one or two people, it was a bunch of you who had that special ability to do that. And you did. Thank you. If it's teaching, then teach. Sunday school resumes pretty soon, doesn't it? We have teachers. Do we have enough? Or do we sometimes need an extra teacher because one can't be there? If you have the ability to teach children, he says, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. That I do quite often. People are down. They're getting discouraged. They're looking at the negative side instead of the positive, and I say, wait a minute. It's not really as bad as you think it is. There's always two sides to a coin, right? There's also always two sides to whatever you're facing. And the example that I use quite often is 9-1-1. We know what happened then. The planes hit the Twin Towers. Many, many people were killed. And that's all they talked about. All these people that lost their lives. But what did I say? There is a positive side to that. How many of those people that died got to heaven a lot sooner than they expected? They figured they'd be here for a long time yet, and all of a sudden God said, no, your time is now. And he used that disaster for the good of some people. So even in something bad, there is good if you look for it. And so I encourage people, be positive. Don't look at the bad side. Look at the good side. And you can do the same. When you see somebody who's down in the dumps, who's gotten a negative feeling, cheer them up. Encourage them to trust in the Lord to take care of them. If it is leadership, be diligent. I know of two leaders you had. One, Dave, you were the leader when I got here. Jim, you are now. I had a leader in my church in Kent, up by Neillsville, Wisconsin. He was the president of the congregation. At that time, instead of a Sunday school, we had a Saturday school from 9 to 11:30 Saturday morning. Now remember, this is back in the middle to late 70s. Well, he said, I'm not sending my two kids to your school. It takes them away from their cartoon time. The president of the congregation setting that as an example. Horrible. And he didn't back down. His kids never came to Saturday school. good leaders, and we've got them. Be dedicated. Be diligent. Use the abilities that God is giving you to fulfill your position in the church. Churches need good leaders, and I feel you have them here. And if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. If you say, I'm sorry for what I've done, mean it. Show it. These are just a couple of examples that Paul brings up. But all of you have different abilities. God has blessed each one of you with a strength in some area. Shortly, we'll be electing officers again in our church. Some of them will be for the council, that's men only. Others will be for committees, women can serve on them. If you have an ability that fits one of these offices, consider it. It's an opportunity for you to use that talent that God has given to you for the benefit of your believers in your congregation. So think about it. If you're approached and you say it fits, consider it. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord. God has blessed each of us in different ways. He has given us different talents. We use them in the world. Consider using them also here in your church. There are many opportunities to serve the Lord here at Trinity. Consider taking advantage of these to serve for the benefit of your church and to the glory of God who has given you those abilities. Amen.